Your Bible, please, the book of Matthew, chapter 5. And we're continuing on in the words of Christ and the things that Christ has said. And, as we look at these things, what challenging it is. It's interesting because Jesus is I feel like, almost ramping up. He starts off with the idea of murder and adultery and these things, and these are all kind of the big sins. And my own little self-righteousness card checks off and says, I've never killed anyone. I haven't cheated on my wife. I want to start checking these off and say, you know what, I'm not so bad. Of course, each one of those things, Jesus says, look, I'm just as guilty if I've hated a brother as if I murdered him. And I'm just as guilty in my heart if I have lusted. But then Jesus this morning, we're going to see how he changes this. And it's imperative to look at this idea that, every week we've been bringing up the same slide, the idea that law, the standard is good. Right? In here, Jesus has said that he had come to fulfill the law, not to destroy it. The law is good. The problem with the law is I can't do it. Right? And neither can you. We all fall short, the Bible says. We all fall short of his glory. And that's where Jesus comes in. All these things is when we acknowledge I can't make it, when I acknowledge that I fall short, if that brings me to the cross and that brings me to Jesus and I ask his forgiveness, he forgives me. And it's not based on my righteousness, right? I can't earn it. We've seen that already in these examples. And I think even today kind of brings that home a little bit more. But all of this brings us to Christ, and I need him. And he forgives us. And now because of that, I still strive to be what he wants me to be. Right? I still want to please him. I remember years ago, my mom had remarried. And I didn't have the best start with my new stepfather. And I remember I was probably, I think it was in third grade. And so I was like 7, 8 years old, somewhere around there. And I thought, well, I will try to do something to iron things out. And so I went around the house, and he had smoked, and that was something new that was in the house. And so I went around and gathered up all his ashtrays and put them in the sink and filled it with water, and I figured I would wash them all. And I remember as a kid thinking, oh, this was a good thing. And he walked into the room looking for an ashtray, and he couldn't find them all. And I told him, oh, they're all in the sink. And he got angry with me because he thought I was trying to get rid of them so that he couldn't smoke in the house. And I remember as a kid how that struck me, because I was trying to do good. But often, if you got kids, you know what it's like. Sometimes you try to do good and you kind of fall short of that. And I remember him being angry with me. And so I went through a little spell where I was like, I'm not even going to try anymore. I'm just not going to try. Because I was frustrated. And I think sometimes we bring that same kind of idea in our Christian life that, look, I can't be good enough. And so I give up. And that's where God's grace comes in, because though I fall short, even though I can't do it, I still try, and God loves me, and his grace fills in the gap. And, I decided I wasn't going to be like that with my kids. And so one of the things, you ever had a little kid draw you a picture? Right? That's what refrigerators are for. Right? And they draw you a picture, and it falls short of the Picasso or the Rembrandts. But as a loving father, I hang it up with pride to see the artwork that my daughter has given me. And in my eyes, it's good enough. And I would never want her to stop giving me those things. Because every once in a while she goes, oh, it was not very good. And I encourage her. Right? And I love that, and actually, she's in the other room, so don't tell her, but She's sweet. She'll draw little cards for my wife and I, and we'll leave it on our pillow so when we go to bed, we'll find these little cards that she has given us. And they're not perfect, but they're wonderful. And as we approach God with that philosophy, like the standard is good. I just fall short of it. And because of that, it brings me to Christ, and I need his mercy. I need his forgiveness. But I don't give up trying. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 continues on in these things. He's going to list six things. And here we are now looking at the next one. He says, look, you had heard it, that it was said to those of old, you should not swear falsely, but you shall perform your oaths before the Lord. And this is the idea of making promises or making oaths or making vows. And in here, the Old Testament is really clear, and this is what Jesus is referring to. There's really three passages that have to do with as Israel was supposed to keep promises or keep their vows. Leviticus 19:12 says, and you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of our Lord. I am the Lord. Numbers 30 says this, if a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, he shall not break his word, and he shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. And lastly this morning, Deuteronomy 23, verses 21 says, and then when you make a vow to the Lord your God, you should not delay to pay it, for the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and it will be a sin to you. The idea of making promises or vows. My stepfather was a carpenter and had done a lot of work. And I don't think ever once he had a contract. And I think sometimes he probably should have, but for him, he was like, you know what? I shook on it. Remember those days where someone said something and they actually did it? Right? And someone kept their word. My stepfather, I remember him saying, my word is my bond, right? If a man's not worth his word, then what good is he? Were always things that he would say. And sometimes, as being a contractor, he would agree to something, and then the cost at the end was off. And he'd say, look, this is what I told you I would charge you, and I'm holding to it. Which I think that oftentimes would frustrate my mom. I remember her telling him, he says, look, why don't you let me do your quotes for you? And he's like, you don't know anything about this. She'll, yeah, but I know how short you are on every job. You just give me your quote, and I'll just add on the end of it, right? But he'd be one that, hey, you know what? I told you this is the price. We shook hands on that price, and I will hold to that price. I'm a man of my word. How far we've gone as a society, haven't we? Now we expect it. We listen to our politicians, and we just expect that they're lying to us. Right? Or parsing the words. I mean, you know, it depends on what the word is, right? We've gotten to the point now where we're parsing and leaning and slanting and all this to avoid telling the truth. And God is one who cares. He tells us, look, we are to make oaths in his name. If we make an oath, it is to him. He is the authority. He is the one we come to. Deuteronomy 6 says this, you shall fear the Lord your God and serve him and shall take oaths in his name. When an oath was to be made, and in here is pledge to the Lord that I will do it. It's interesting, the book of Hebrews talks about God making an oath. Now, of course, God keeps his promises. And in here he says, look, the idea of an oath, when I promise, I think of when you go to court. If you hand the Bible, I think they still do that. I don't know. I haven't been to court for a long time. That's probably a good thing. But you put your hand in the Bible and you swear, right? To tell the truth, nothing but the truth, so help you, God. Right? When we make an oath, when we make a promise to the Lord, that in here we should make sure we follow through and we do it. Right? I turn around and think of the idea of our marriage vows. You know, I promise to love you, keep you, forsaking all others, till death do you part. An oath before the Lord. to keep those words. My wife will remind me, she goes, you know, I think in those vows it's for better, what is it, for richer or for poorer, for better or for worse. She goes, I owe her a few rich years and a few better years. We've been through the worst and we've been through the poor. She goes, you got to balance out that equation here. But to be keepers of our promises, of our oaths. This is imperative for us because we realize that, especially as Christians, that we live a life that's reflective of God. Look what it says here. God is a promise-keeping God, which I'm thankful for. Right? That God keeps his promise. Ezekiel says this, whatever I say will be fulfilled, declares the sovereign Lord. What God says he will do. And I'm glad. Right? My God says he will never leave us nor forsake us. I'm glad. There's nothing I can do that will make God leave me. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. I'm glad God keeps his promises. He says if I go away, I will come again. Right? I go to prepare a place for you. I'm glad that God keeps his promises, aren't you? By his nature, he does those things. God cannot lie. He can't. By his very nature, Numbers 23 tells us this, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? God said it, that settles it. Whether I believe it or not, God said it, it is true, because God cannot lie. As we look at these things, it's imperative because God is also the truth. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the what? Truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is truth. God is truth. His word is true. As I'll tell you, as we go through this world and go through this society, we are so lost. We're bankrupt morally because we've abandoned the truth of God's word. And we're redefining what our ideas of truth is. And because of this, we're lost. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. I heard a statistic that even in churches today, that most churches only teach about 2 to 5% of the Bible. That's not a lot. And we wonder why our churches are suffering. Sin has taken over. Everyone's doing what's right in their own eyes. Because we've lost the truth. And so in light of this, Jesus was saying, look, you've heard it said. Look, when you make an oath, basically do it. And this is so common knowledge. But he goes on a little bit further. Notice what he says here, Matthew 5, 33 again. Again, you have heard that it is said of those of old, you should not swear falsely, but you shall perform your oath to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all. Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair black, white or black. But let your yeses be yeses, and your noes, noes. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. It's interesting, Jesus goes on and starts explaining a little bit further here. And here he warns them, he says, don't be swearing by, you know, by Jerusalem, or don't be swearing by the heavens, or all these other things. And to give you a little bit of cultural context here. Because what was happening was the religious leaders were saying, look, when you make an oath, when you make a promise, you got to keep it. Unless. Right? They're looking for the loophole. Right? I remember as a kid, right? On the playground, making a promise. And I would turn around and, what would you do? If you cross your fingers, right? Now, if you crossed your fingers, but I'm always looking for those loopholes, right? So if I cross my fingers, then I'm all set. I don't have to do it. But then I think it was if you cross two fingers, it was like a double negative. So that didn't count. I remember at one point, I can't remember what it was, we were doing something, and they're like, okay, you know, you make a promise, oh, I promise to do this, and I hold up my hands, and that didn't work, and hold my, you know, other hands, they want to see the other hands, so you cross your toes. I can't be the only one who did that. But you turn around and cross your toes. Right? I'm looking for a way out of this. Now, today we're a little more refined, because now we have lawyers who try to get us out of our contracts. Right? Looking for the right word, the phrase to get us exempt from that. And what happened was the religious leaders, the Pharisees, would turn around and say, you know what? If you turn around and you make a pledge, but you know, the Bible says, well, if you make a promise and your oath to God, you have to do that. But if you make it to heaven, you don't have to. So people would say, oh, I promise on heaven. And they would get a way, find some wiggle room to get out of it. Actually, later on in Matthew 23, Jesus rebukes them. Matthew 23:16 says, woe to you, blind guides, who says, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obligated to do it. He says, you fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple? And he turns around, what he says is, you know what, guys? Stop playing games. And that's what they were doing. Right? You've heard people. So I promise in our house, like we grew up at home, if we really wanted to make sure someone was telling the truth, we'd go around and get up all the Bibles that we had in the house. And so we'd make each other swear on a stack of Bibles. Right? Do you promise to tell the truth? Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you do this? Well, yeah, yeah. All right, well, you get a stack of Bibles. And because, of course, not one's enough, so you got to get a stack. And so, you know, I promise on a stack of Bibles. Or we had a neighbor girl that always would turn around and say, cross my heart and hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. She was brutal. But all these promises, but trying to find ways out of it, my fingers were crossed, I really didn't mean it. And we're trying to find ways to exempt ourselves from being truthful. And in here, turn away from our obligations to be people of the truth. God wants us to be people of our word, to keep our word. Right? And that's what he says, let your yeses be yeses and let your noes be no. We should be known. Not to be pressured, like, okay, I'll tell the truth if I promise on certain things. We should be known that we are truthful people. Shouldn't we? See, the oath is only as good as the morality of the person who pledges it. Right? There's an old saying, and I don't know where this is. If anyone finds out the quote on this, I've Googled it a few times. I heard this so many years ago, but I have used it so much. It says, everything spoken should be the truth. As Christians, truth should be what we speak. But not every truth needs to be spoken. Right? Just because it's true doesn't mean I should say it. Right? I find it interesting because sometimes you run across someone who is just brutally mean. And they're like, well, I'm just being truthful. Well, no, you're being nasty. Right? Well, let me tell you about my neighbor. And this is, well, it's true. Look, just because it's true doesn't mean you have to speak it. And I think this is a good challenge for us. That everything spoken should be the truth, but not every truth needs to be spoken. The book of James picks this up. James 5, verse 12 says, above all, my brethren, do not swear neither by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yeses be yeses and your noes be noes, lest you fall into judgment. See, we need to understand something. Because God is a promise-keeping God, because he is a truthful God, he does not lie. That, folks, when we make promises, he expects us to hold them. And I'll tell you, that's a challenging thing, because I know many things in my life I have been less than truthful. And I know some things in my life I've been less than honorable in keeping my promises. See, we should avoid oaths because, one, God hates lying. Book of Proverbs says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. God hates lying. Because he's truth, as I am untruthful, I'm reflecting the enemy and not him. And sometimes what we promise and what we swear is to get us out of a situation. And we know we're lying. Right? If I just tell them the right thing, they'll go away. I'll get out of this situation. Peter did this. And the night Jesus was taken and being questioned and beaten, Peter followed along, and as he was outside the court, three times he was asked, "Hey, you're a follower of Jesus." And he's like, "No, I'm not." And someone else can be, "Oh, look, oh yeah, I saw you with him. You know Jesus." And the Bible says that he swore, and he wasn't dropping the F-bomb. He was promising, I don't know this man. I pledge to God, I do not know him. Which was a lie. But why? Because he was trying to save his own skin. And somehow we've got an idea that, look, you know, I can lie in my business. You know, I can say something that's not true because that's just business. I always kind of hate that saying. No, nothing personal, it's just business, right? So I can lie, cheat, and steal. I can do all those things because that's just the way it's done. Not for you, Christian, you shouldn't be. Right? Your word should be yes or no. Your word should be your bond. Now, we live in a day with contracts and agreements, and I understand all of that. That's the world we live in. But you know what? Those things should reflect our intent and not force us, right? I should keep my word because I said so and not because I've signed something. Let your yeses be yeses and let your noes be no. Be men and women of integrity. And don't lie to get yourself out of trouble. Don't lie to get what you want. We should avoid oaths because there's so much we can't control. And I don't know if this happens in your home or not, but oftentimes in our house, our daughter will come up and say, "Well, Dad, you promised." Now, to be honest, I don't think everything that I've said is a promise. I think sometimes she just takes things as, "Dad, you promised, you know, Dad, will you take me to, you know, McDonald's Playland?" I said, "Well, sometimes." She's like, "Oh, well, you promised." "No, wait, what the? Well, I didn't promise." Right? So sometimes you're caught in that. "Well, I didn't promise you that." But there are other times that I have said, "Look, you know what, we're not going to do that, but we'll do this instead. You know, Saturday, I'm going to take you somewhere. I'll do something special for you." Right? And I promised. Well, then Friday night, someone passes away. And then Saturday, I have to shift gears. And there's been many times where I said, "You know what? I can't do what I promised because I didn't see what was coming down the pike. I can't control everything." And that's where I think in here, as Christians, we need to be honest and turn around and say, "You know what? Lord willing," as the book of James says. Right? If the Lord allows it, I'll do it. But we're better off not pledging ourselves and not making promises that we know we can't keep, or even there's a possibility we can't. James tells us, look, there's so much in my life I can't control. It says, "Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? Is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." I have no control of what's going to happen tomorrow. I think COVID has really woken us up. How many times I said, "You know what? you know, this month we're going to try to do potluck, or this week we're going to try to do that. And then something happens, it's like, all right, guys, I'm sorry. We got to change gears here. We got to roll with this, right? Because I can't control it. Now, I see that's where God is so great, because he can keep all his promises, because nothing catches him by surprise. But I need to realize my humanness, my limitations, and in here, not making promises that I can't keep. And so I'm like, okay, you know what? Lord willing. Over the years, I found, you know what, married, what, 33 years? And over the years, I've learned, you know what, I'll try. I'll try to do that, right? Because I'll do that. I promise. And then I got myself a whole lot of trouble because I was making promises I couldn't keep, right? And now it's like, you know what, I'll try to. You know, if it works out, if I remember, that's my big one now. As I'm getting older, you get a certain age, and my wife gets frustrated because one time she's like, "John, you're so forgetful." She goes, "Remember not to forget." And I haven't figured that one out yet, right? Because I'm bad. I'll walk up the stairs, get to the top, and forget why I walked up. Then turn around and walk back down. It's like, oh, yeah, that's why. Walk up the stairs again, get up there again. I'm like, oh, I've done that 3 times. Right? But there's so much that's out of our control. And don't box yourself in trying to make these promises that you cannot keep. And like I said, we live in a day and age where we have contracts, we have agreements. But folks, we need to take the seriousness of those things. I think one of the most serious vows that we have is our marriage vows. You know, when I sit down with a couple, premarital counseling, you know, they're all in love and they're all doing, and I'm just like, you realize you are pledging before God to keep these things. And are you going to do everything in your power to keep these promises? They're not to be taken lightly. And the Bible warns us about, we talk about Peter swearing, oh, I don't know the Lord. He was trying to save his own hide. The Bible talks about Jephthah, the book of Judges. And he's like, oh, Lord, if you give me the victory, the first thing I walk, comes through my door, I'm going to sacrifice to you. Well, God had already given him the victory, right? He didn't have to do anything. All Jephthah had to do was obey God. But no, he thought he'd be all this spiritual guy. He goes, oh, I'm going to make a promise to God. Whoever walks through my door, I'm going to sacrifice you. And he walks home and his daughter walks out. Don't make rash promises. Joshua, the leader of Israel, as they crossed over one of the local groups was afraid that Joshua was going to come through and conquer them. And so they dressed up in old clothes and looked like they traveled off. They came up and said, oh, Joshua, we've traveled so far. Well, yeah, just a couple miles down the road. But we've traveled so far, and we're a good people. Will you please make an agreement with us that you won't attack us? And Joshua fell for it and made a vow that he wouldn't attack those people, which was going contrary to God. And he was tricked. But you know what? Joshua is still held by his promise. Don't make rash promises. Years ago, when my wife hit a deer, stove up the whole front end of our vehicle. And we're in Bible school at the time. We didn't have much money. We found this guy who did some work on the side. And I asked him, I said, look, you know, how much will you give us a quote? And he came back with a quote that was really low compared to other places we've gone to. I said, are you sure on this? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And one of the things that happened was the radiator got hurt. And this was like an 85 Skyhawk. It was a piece of junk. And it was one of these cars that, you know, you pull it up, there's 15 radiators for this car. Ours was always the most expensive. Whatever part it was, It was like a Brazilian motor put together in Canada from Korea. It was just like this mongrel of a car. And anything was expensive. So he came up and he goes, he came back real quick. Oh, yeah, here's the quote. I can do it for this. I was like, you're way under. And he's like, oh, no, I want the business. I can do it. I'm like, you sure? He goes, yeah. So he wrote it out and he called me up and he's like, oh, John, this radiator, your car, there's 15 radiators for this car. And I just thought yours was the normal one. He goes, it's not. It's the most expensive one. And he goes, I don't know what to do. The cost of it was like five times the cost. He goes, I got your car ready to party. He goes, but I promised you. I said, you're pretty quick on that promise. He goes, yeah, I was. He goes, I should have done my homework first. And we're in Bible, like I said, we didn't have much money, and I should have, part of me said, I should have held him to that promise. He goes, if you hold me to it, I'll do it. And I'm like, and so we met halfway. So we split the difference of the two. But he was so quick to get the business and so quick that he didn't do his homework. He made a promise that he couldn't keep. Don't make rash promises. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5, 25 says this. It says, it is a snare for a man to devote rashly something as holy and afterwards to reconsider his vows. It's a snare to make a vow that you can't keep. Be men and women of your word. Jesus says back in Matthew 5, let your yeses be yeses and let your noes be noes. That, folks, when we speak, that people should have no doubt that we're speaking the truth. That we're known to be honest. Here's a word that you don't hear a lot of, but how about this? How about be people of integrity? Right? People of integrity. Be honest in what we say. Let me tell you something. If someone comes up and says, do you promise this is the truth? Then I've done something wrong in my character where they have to question me, try to hold me to a promise. Let your yeses be yeses and let your noes be known. We should be known as plain talking, straight shooting, honest men and women of integrity. And once again, if we fall short, that brings us back to the cross and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. You know what? What I've done and what I've said has not reflected well on you. Then, Lord, help me make some of these things right. To earn back trust, to earn back our integrity. Not just for our sake, but for the Lord's. I worked at a mill. I'm going to end it with this. I worked at a mill up north, and there was another gentleman that was a Christian. He was a deacon in a church. And I remember when I was new at the mill, they said, oh, yeah, that's so-and-so. And he says he's a Christian. He goes, but you can't believe a word he said. And he was the type of guy that would tell tall tales. And my favorite one, he told that out in back of his house there was a field, and in the field was a pond. And in this pond, he goes, one day he was doing something and discovered that there was a tractor in there that's been under this pond since 1930. And so he was all excited to discover that there was a tractor there. So he hooked it up to his truck and he pulled it out. He goes, this tractor was just phenomenal, mint condition. And he goes, you wouldn't believe it. He goes, I jumped right in it, turned the key, and it started right up. And he goes, and I drove it home. Now, you might think this is, I'm not a mechanic, but I have a hard time swallowing that. But it was interesting because, you know, here's just a kind of a foolish story, just kind of a tall tale. What harm does it do? But let me tell you, this gentleman tried to share Jesus with people, and they would not listen to him. Why? Because of his integrity or lack thereof. And folks, if we're not known to be truthful and honest in small things, people will not believe us in the big things. Jesus says, let your yeses be yeses and let your noes be no. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the standard. Lord, it's hard, Lord, and we are people who get tripped up, and we are people who are quick to lie, deceit. Lord, help us be people of our word. Lord, help us be honest and truthful in what we say. Lord, help us, Lord, to do what we say. That in this, Lord, we will have the ability to share the greatest truth of all, that you love people and you died for them. Lord, if we have fallen short in this, Lord, help us to make strides to make it right. Lord, before you, Lord, we ask you to forgive us, and you know you will. But Lord, help us to go to those around us, Lord, and make things right, to earn back trust, to earn back integrity for your name's sake. Lord, we know you can do this. And Lord, we need you. Lord, we promise to give you all the praise and all the glory for what you can do in our lives. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.